Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. It is now 9:15. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have with Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Maulana, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Waalaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. And we make salam to our listeners of Radio Islam. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Maulana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, with your du'as. I hope you're making du'a for us.
Actually, we're making du'a for everybody.
Genuinely by name?
We take names also. We make... Maulana, we were discussing the commentary of Suratul Kahf. We completed the first story which Allah mentions in Suratul Kahf. And last week and the previous week, we did a few ayats of the second story where Allah mentions from Wadrib lahum matala rajulain. And last week we went into detail on the ayat of وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. And we mentioned that the owner of the two gardens, he initiated the conversation wherein he asks that while speaking to his companion, he said, I have more wealth than you and my people are dominant, that my family and I are more respectable in society and we have a larger following. And we mentioned that when everything comes to us easily, and then we start getting arrogant. And this is the way how this man, when he started the conversation, he started asking this and that and that. But he wanted the person who he's speaking to, that is the mu'min, to ask him a certain question. You know, like, this is what I want you to ask. And when he seen that the person wasn't asking him, the mu'min wasn't asking him, then he went straight to the point and he said, I have more wealth than you and my people are more dominant. And I think that's where we completed last week. We said that we'll start with the 35th ayat, where it starts with دَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا.
Yes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We continue with our discussion of this amazing surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Kahf. And inshallah, today we will continue with ayah number 35, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about this man, that when he enters his garden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا. He entered his garden and he is already feeling good and superior about himself and he is wronging only himself. Now, how do you enter a garden while wronging yourself? وَهُوَ ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Zalim, the guy who puts something where it doesn't belong. The literal meaning of the word ظلم or ظالم is someone who puts something where it doesn't belong. So how did he enter his garden while being wrong to himself, while oppressing himself? In this case, it is not an act. It is an attitude and a state of mind. And this is the fitna of materialism, that when someone is bound, being blessed with the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many a times their attitude and their state of mind changes. And this is the zulm that he is doing, that his state of mind has changed. You could be a zalim to yourself having not done anything, and it could all be an attitude in your head. And so the way he wronged himself is by saying, قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I don't think at all that any of this is going to die out ever. In other words, when he entered his garden and his arrogance and his state of mind made him say something else, and that is that this all that I have is never going to come to an end. قَالَ here doesn't necessarily mean that he said it aloud. It could be that he was thinking it, or it was in his mind. When things were going really, really well, you start think in your head that things will never change. And you forget that it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is how he wronged himself. So the first wrong that he did himself and the attitude in his mind is that these gardens that I have are here forever. They are here to stay forever and they will never come to an end. And then further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 36, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِن رُدِئْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. This was the next delusion he has. which is one of the most scariest manifestations of materialism. And that is, he was never around the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Protestant thought, the more material you gain, the more Allah loves you, and the more He has blessed you. This is an ideology in the Protestant thought. This theology and this ideology comes from the fact that you are already saved in heaven because you accepted Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as your Lord or as your Savior, and you don't need Allah's help in the afterlife. That's been taken care for. So you only need to work for this life, and therefore you need Allah's help only in this life. However, in the Catholic Christianity, you shunned the world with geopolitical reasons for that, and the only entity that was making money was the church. You get salvation in the next life by shunning this world and this life. Now, this type of thinking came to the Muslims and hit us hard. We began to consider material gain as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is a blessing, but we should never be ignorant of the fact that it's also a test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing this delusion in the mind of this believer. So you only see benefit or loss with whether Allah is happy with you or not. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. I don't think the hour will ever stand. He means that the hour isn't near, Qiyamah isn't near, not necessarily mean that he doesn't believe it isn't going to happen. He thinks this perhaps because his friend is giving him warnings and that he has to fear Judgment Day. We find today that people that have lots of bounties don't want you to talk about Qiyamah. They don't want people to talk about death. And therefore, when they talk about death and Qiyamah, it's all like, you know, it's something that's in a very far distant time. So he thinks this perhaps because his friend is giving him warnings and that he has to fear Judgment Day. That statement in the surah is not an accident. He doesn't think the signs of Judgment Days are here. This ayah talks about people that are so engrossed and so absorbed in their material life that when you talk to them about the afterlife or anything that has to do with afterlife, it disturbs them and they are rather not talk about it. And therefore, وَلَا إِرُّدِئْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And then he says that even if I was forced to go back to my Rabb, وَلَا إِرُّدِئْتُ رَدْ is something that is returned but unaccepted. Sometimes when you buy something, fruits or whatever, they call it raddi. In other words, you must give it back because it's of no value. Something that is returned but not unaccepted. So he says, وَلَا إِرُّدِئْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. Even if I am going to be returned, and I don't even accept that I'm going to be returned, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Even if I did go back to Allah, then I will absolutely, most definitely, find better than it a place much better than this to return back to. So what he is saying, that look, this garden of mine will never come to an end. Understand the state of mind of this person. This garden of mine will never come to an end. It will be everlasting. And then because his friend is talking about Qiyamah, the end of the world, he now says that even Qiyamah, it's not something that's going to come. It's something that's very distant. However, even if it comes, I am sure and am confident that if Allah has given me so much in this world, He will give me even better thereafter. Munqalaba is a zarf, a place to go back to. So he is basically saying, I don't think it's going to come. Qiyamah is not going to come. And even if it did come, then Allah will surely give me better than what I have in this world. Why would He give me Jannah in this dunya, such a beautiful garden, so much of wealth, so much of bounties? Why would He give me all this in Jannah and not give it to me in the Akhirah? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayats are giving us the mindset of people that are engulfed and engrossed in the world of materialism, because their mindset is such that whatever they have will never come to an end. And they don't want to hear about Akhirah, they don't want to hear about afterlife, they don't want to hear about death. And even if they have to talk about death, and they are so confident that if Allah has given them all this in this world, we are okay, man. In the next world, we'll even get better. So that's an attitude that Allah is addressing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here how this man truly doubted his return to his Rabb. He thought it to be the faintest and most remote of possibilities. Notice how the statement of his shows us that he did indeed know about Allah. So he was a believer. It's not that he was not a believer. He knew about Allah. He even knew that Allah was his Rabb. وَلَئِنْ رُدِئْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. That's what he said. إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. Toward, even if I'm going to be returned to my Rabb. He knew that he had a Lord. He knew that he had a Master. He knew that he had a Creator and a Sustainer. He even knew that there was a time in which he was going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the mindset of a believer, not of a disbeliever. This shows us that the message had indeed been conveyed to him. He was not among ignorant people. Rather, he knew. He knew of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew of the message that he subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. Now, of all the people in the world today, who most resembles this man? And this is a question for reflection. Of all the people in the world today, who most resembles this man? Is it not us who know the Quran? Is it not us as Muslims who know the Quran? Is it not us who have the knowledge of Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us so much about the hereafter. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it in detail. He has reminded us again and again, if we were still then to become like this man, if we were then to doubt, how worthless a people would be. How worthless a people would we be then? This man was doubting that he would ever return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the message had been clearly conveyed to him. He had fallen so much in love with this world, he had fallen so much in love with himself, that he convinced himself that he would never return. This way, he could be alone with himself. This way, he did not have to think of the real and the true. This way, he did not have to submit to the divine, but he was living a dream. He was living a lie. The truth is that we are all going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all came from him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are all going back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, Allah, is the beginning and the end. The world which we have drowned ourselves in, this world which we always think about, it is only going to be with us for a very short time. In time we will be returned to our Maker, and we will return to Allah. In short time we will be shown the reality that we have made ourselves blind to. If we choose not to accept this fact, if we choose to live in heedlessness and doubt, then just like this man, we are in for a surprise. Just imagine going back to Allah, having lived an entire existence of heedlessness to him, or an entire existence of rebellion to him. What kind of a return would that be for us? This man, the man who had these two gardens, doubted that he would ever return to Allah. But he also thought to himself that if ever he did return, then he was certain that he would find better than this garden. In other words, he was absolutely certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would admit him into Jannah. He was certain that he would go to paradise. Such was the extent of his arrogance. Such was the extent of his delusion. He thought himself to be so great that he could not see anything but good happening to him. He thought himself to be so great that he could only fathom things happening to the way that he wanted them to. As beautiful and as wonderful as the garden was that Allah had given him in this world, he was certain that he would be given even better than that. Unfortunately, there are many of us today who have this type of thinking. We think that just because we are Muslims, we are guaranteed the Jannah. We think that just because we read the Kalima, we are guaranteed the garden. It does not matter how many sins we commit. It does not matter how many moments we spend in heedlessness. It does not even matter if we did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for even more than a moment of our entire life. We think that just because we say the kalima, we are saved. We think that we are so beloved to Allah only because we say that we believe. We see so much sin and decadence in the world around us. We see disbelievers everywhere in the world around us. And we tell ourselves that at least we are better than them. We tell ourselves that we are more beloved to Allah than them. We think that there is no way that Allah will punish us when there are people much worse than us in the world. We forget that this life is a test. We forget that Allah created us to strive for Him. We forget that since we have the Quran, our responsibility to serve Him is much greater than that of the ignorant ones who never received the message. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to dedicate ourselves to Him. Not just to say a few words and think that it amounts to salvation. If such is our thinking, then indeed we have deluded ourselves just like this man. Shaitan has blinded us with this world. Our deen has become a joke. Many of us today are like this. Islam has so little relevance in our lives that we somehow tell ourselves that we will enter Jannah only because we are Muslims. We are sure that Allah will love us no matter what we do. How foolish is this thinking? How dangerous is this thinking? Especially when we can see from here that it is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that Allah has addressed this mindset of this man in the manner that Allah has addressed it is proof that Allah is not appreciating this type of thinking. The next ayah continues with this discussion between the man of the two gardens and his companion. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ. Now the other companion, the one who was who had less, says, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ, and he's also having a discussion with him, and he tells him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. So now the friend finds another time to make a conversation with the gardener. This is another conversation taking place, but this time the friend, the one who had less, decides that he is going to slip in something. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Keep in mind what he said to his friend in the beginning when they were having a discussion. He said to him, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفْرًا. I am more than you in wealth, and I have more authority and respect than you in manpower. What he said to himself, he said first to his friend, that I have more wealth than you, I have more authority than you, I have more respect than you, I have more manpower than you. And then he said to himself, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. And he also said, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا وَلَئِن رُدِئْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. So all that his friend knows from his neighbor is the statement that I am more than you in wealth, I have more authority and respect than you in manpower. And I don't think that's all that he heard. He doesn't know that what is his mindset. That his mindset is that all that he has will never come to an end. And he also thinks that if he even goes to Allah, Allah will grant him Jannah. That is what the friend will respond to. The friend only responds to about the arrogance that he displayed about having more wealth, having more authority and having more respect. So that is what the friend is responding. This one is a response to ayah number 34, because in the previous ayah it sounds that it is tantamount to kufr. He had doubts about akhirah and he had his own version of what would happen and didn't care about what Allah would do. The idea is that he used his material state, his bounties, as a gauge about where he would end up in the akhirah. But this is not the blasphemy that is being highlighted. That which is being highlighted in this ayah is, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفْرًا. I am more than you in wealth, and I have more authority and respect than you in manpower. Did you disbelieve and are ungrateful of the one who created you from dirt? Is the response to the statement that I have more wealth than you. أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا. Do you disbelieve and are ungrateful to the one who created you from dirt? Why do you think that you are so much better? Did you forget that you are also from dirt? Is your dirt more expensive than mine? Or is the skin that you are made of somehow more valuable? خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا. And then Allah molded you out into a man. Forget about your material possessions now. You yourself being a man, you've forgotten. He thinks a lot about his possessions, but he doesn't think about himself. And this is one of the challenges of people, or one of the challenges of materialism, that you stop thinking about your condition and yourself, but you only focus on your wealth and your possessions. Similarly, this man thinks a lot about his possessions, but doesn't think about himself. And so this friend is trying to remind him about himself and who he is for the sake of Allah. So this friend is upset too. It comes through the ayahs. He felt insulted by what the man said to him. He isn't there necessarily just for dawah. He was hurt. And it doesn't make him less of a person because of it. So even the statement of him being ungrateful of the one who made him from dirt, this is an offensive statement no matter how you look at it. لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. He continues. Then you have the statement لَكِنَّ. This is a fusion between أَنَا and لَكِن, as opposed to لَكِنَّنِي. From a rhetorical perspective, from the Arabic grammar, the idea is that he is speaking about himself, but because the sentence is about Allah, he's reduced himself, so he doesn't use a stronger version of لَكِنَّ. لَكِنَّ is reduced from he has reduced himself before Allah, and this is the beauty of the Arabic language. This is a contrast between arrogance in the previous ayah and humility here. In the previous ayah, the man said, Ana Aktharu, he put emphasis on himself. But here, the word is Lakinna. Hu Allahu Rabbi. The emphasis is on Allah. He says, He is Allah, my Rabb. And as far as I am concerned, I don't do shirk with my Rabb, with anybody. The question comes up that the owner of the two gardens didn't say that he worships idols. He just said that he is worth more because of money and has more respect because of authority. And now his friend is accusing him of kufr in one ayah and of shirk in the next ayah. So what is the kufr and what is the shirk? They are two distinct things. A kafir, a disbeliever, a one who practices kufr, is someone who is ungrateful and rejects the truth. A mushrik is someone that associates someone else with Allah. Now he is ungrateful because he is thinking all of it is entitled to himself. He is also in denial of his own origin. These are the kufr when you don't give Allah his due. And his shirk is because he gave credit to himself and did not give credit to Allah. He used ana when describing himself. Ana aktharu mink. There is a difference between that and between Allah gave me and made me wealthy. He could have said, Allah made me wealthy, but he didn't do that. He just said, I am more wealthier. This suggests that the owner of the two gardens has associated someone with Allah himself, and his universe is centered around him and his doings. Now let us look at how exactly this companion invited the man with the two gardens back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah shows us how he asked him a question. He asked, Have you done kufr to the one who created you from dirt, then from a drop, then molded and completed you into a man? He does remind this man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what's interesting is look at the way in which he reminds him. He tells him to remember Allah in relation to himself. It is as if he is saying, you think that you are so great. You think that you are so perfect. But do you remember the one who made you as you are? Do you remember where you come from? Have you done kufr to him? Recall what we said was the meaning of kufr. It is to reject and deny something which you know is the truth. just like this companion, we need to make Allah as our Rabb once again. And we must remove all partners in our dedication to Him. Not our children, not our wealth, not our jobs, not our loyalties to our countries and governments, and worst of all, not ourselves. Nothing should matter in our lives except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Allah, the being of perfection, the being of majesty, the one who because of that purity and because of that glory deserves the complete dedication and slavehood of all creation. Only when we drown ourselves in this light will we forget our egos. Only then will we give Him the rights that He subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Only then will we know the correct path to walk upon. One of utter humbleness, one of utter submission, one of complete annihilation in glory and in the purity of Allah. We should live this life, and just like the companion, we should call others to it. This is the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the dirt and the drop into us.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the program with myself, Muhammad Bam, and Manazir Rahman Raghi. Manana, the number to call for the listeners out there is that if you have any input into the program, you can call us on 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548, or you can SMS me on 072-328-7777, that's 072-328-7777. Well, we don't have any calls or any SMSs for now. Mark, we can continue with the program.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ma'ana, we continue with ayah number 39, and inshallah we will conclude this discussion with this ayah. The friend is now addressing the man of the two gardens, and he's still giving him advice, and he says to him, Lawla idh dakhalta jannatak qulta ma sha Allah la quwwata illa billah in tarani ana aqalla minka mala wa walada. How come, he says, it wasn't the case that the very moment you entered your garden, you said, whatever Allah has willed. Him saying this would have meant that none of this was the product of his own work or his own labor. But success in the material or immaterial sense is a product of the will of Allah. This is a fundamental principle that is easily forgotten when we are in our businesses, when we see all the wealth that we have. And we forget that all success and all failure at the end of the day is a combination of two things: human effort and divine will. Our effort is not enough to get results, but many a times we forget this. If you go back to what his garden looked like and what it was, you'll notice that every verb was taken back to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we provided him the gardens. We made the rivers flow. We gave him the grapevines. We had the date palms. So everything was referred back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it was the will of Allah. The rivers through them, the palm trees, the fruits, etc. It is all the results of Allah's will. Ja'alna, Allah said in that ayah, Ja'alna we li ahadihima jannatain min a'anab wa hafafna, again we, li nakhl wa ja'alna, again we, baynahuma zar'a. So, la quwwata illa billah. There is no power whatsoever except Allah's disposal. This actually is a negation of when he said to his friend, ana aktharu min kamal. Because all of this money is from Allah. It also negates all his authority from manpower. That is all given by Allah, and Allah has all the power. In tarani ana aqalla minka mala wa walada. This is an additional word. It means that he is crying and is hurt by what was said to him. Why didn't you say those words if you see me less? He had to say twice. Is it not normal speech, but it is an emotional speech? That Allah is not negating yourself. We are allowed to feel pain. That is not pride and ego. The friend to whom he said, I have more wealth and I have more people and more authority, is hurt. And therefore he says, إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا. When you see and when you saw that I have less money than you, I have less authority than you, I have less children than you, then why didn't you refer all what you have to Allah? How is it that you regarded that as yours? So this is what he is saying. And then he continues, فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ سَعِيدًا زَلَقًا. Asa is used on the tongue of a man for hope. When it is used by Allah himself, then he is hinting at the fact that he might do this himself. So the friend says to his friend, the one who has the garden, perhaps my Rabb might just give me a garden better than yours. And he'll send against it, against yours, husban. This word means calculation. But it also means something at a very precious and calculated time. The sun, the moon, all follow a very precise motion, precise calendar. But they are also about to be destroyed exactly on time. So Allah will send against your garden a timely destruction from the sky. The word husbana in verse 40 has been explained by Allama Qatada as punishment in an absolute sense. And by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu as fire. And by some others as stoning. As for what appears after the Quran, وَأُحِيتَ بِثَمَرِهِ, and its produce was struck by destruction from all sides. It obviously means that some major calamity hit his garden. Wealth and things of luxury reducing everything to ruins. The Quran does not mention any particular calamity explicitly. It appears that some fire came down from the skies and burned his entire orchards, as it appears in the tafsir of Husban by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who explained it as a fire. But Allah knows best. فَتُصْبِحَ سَعِيدًا ذَلَقًا, and then it will become barren and slippery. It might overflood, or it might just be that a huge hurricane will come. And the river that is in your garden will overflood and will destroy your entire garden. And the trees will start falling. And all that you will be walking on will be mud, and it will turn into a swamp. Land overnight, right on schedule. When a believer talks like that, it must be that they are angry. You don't tell someone that Allah, may Allah burn your house down. The believer didn't pray for this to happen, but he said it might happen. أو يصبح ماؤها غورا فلن تستطيع له طلبا. Or it could be that its water becomes absorbed, and then you are not going to be able to demand it. That means there's a drought. You are not going to be able to seek it. You are going to be digging and you are not going to find water. The rivers now are automatically irrigating his garden, everything. But the possibility is that you won't be able to access it later. وَأُحِيتَ بِثَمَرِهِ فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ أَلَا مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهِ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. The friend is still giving him advice. Allah then says this casually, وَأُحِيتَ بِثَمَرِهِ. His fruit then got surrounded. Bithamari, this is used throughout the Quran to refer to children, fruit, hard work. So when his fruit got surrounded, the whole thing is surrounded. You don't have to say the farm got surrounded, because if you surround the two gardens, what's in between was a farm. So it's all completely overrun. We don't know how it got surrounded, but we do know that there were palm trees, and the palm trees were on the border. So now they are completely enveloped, and it has come after the fruit of his labor, the things that make him his money. So Allah says, فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهِ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. And all of a sudden, he started wringing his hands, not knowing what to do with it, or to himself, and feeling helpless. This is in contrast to him walking into it a few days before, when he couldn't get over how great he was. He was wringing his hands over the investments he has made in it. He had put so much money into his orchards. He had put so many mechanisms in place, so many trees to protect it from the wind. And this person put the money in, وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا, while it turned over on top of its trellises. The word عَرْشِيَا عُرُوشِهَا means roof or ceiling, and also means throne. It also means sticks. The plant wraps around it, that is the trellises of the grapevines. And the grapes grow on trellises. They are delicate and you have to take care of them. So Allah says, and its produce was overwhelmed by calamities. And he stood wringing his hands in anguish over what he had invested in, while it was all fallen down on its trellises, and he was saying, Ya laytani lam ushrik bi rabbi ahada. I wish I had not ascribed any partner to my Lord. The palm trees have now been destroyed and fell onto the trellises and became the reason his garden got destroyed. The palm trees were supposed to be the security. His most valuable fruit was the grapes, and he also had dates, and now it's all just collapsed. وَيَقُولْ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. He says, if only I hadn't committed shirk of my Rabb with anybody. Recall from the previous ayah where the man's companion gave him warning about what would happen to his garden if he failed to thank Allah, if he failed to submit to Allah in gratitude. And recall how Allah made this warning to be fulfilled exactly as the companion said it to be. This story, the second story of the surah in Surah Kahf, talks about the whole trial of materialism. And the trial of materialism is such that when Allah gives us bounty, it shouldn't make us arrogant. It shouldn't make us feel that all this is because of my effort. Always remain focused and never become indifferent to the source of your bounty, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the friend was reminding him of that. And that is the lesson that we leave ourselves today with. That when we see our bounties, let us think about Allah, let us be grateful to Allah, and never exercise ego, pride, arrogance because of what Allah has given us. Inshallah, we will continue from here next week, inshallah, Marana.
Inshallah, Marana, Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to Marana next week, Wednesday.
Salam. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.